It says in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 14 that a godly man's life is exciting. We can say in the new covenant, a Christian's life is exciting. I believe that's God's will for all of us, brothers and sisters. You know, as you follow the Lord becomes more and more precious, wonderful, glorious, and exciting. And the Lord wants to show us the glory of Jesus. And I believe that's the beauty of a Christian, that he's taken up with the Lord. And I want to say, if the Lord is not becoming so exciting for you, there's something lacking in your life. It says the Holy Spirit shows us the glory of Jesus and transforms us more and more from into the same image, from glory to glory. In other words, first the Lord shows how glorious Jesus is. And oh, this is my prayer, that the Lord will become more and more glorious, not only for me and for all of us this morning. And this morning I want to share something from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is a picture of a love relationship between Christ and the church. And it's also a picture of a love relationship in marriage between husband and wife. And we can learn some foundational principles for a Christian life and for a marriage. I asked many couples, have you read the Song of Solomon? And they all feel shy. And many of them have not read at all. Even they've been believers for years. You know, the Bible says, the pure, all things are pure. If you read it with the right attitude, the right perspective, you get so much. Otherwise, you get nothing. How sad. God's given us a book in the Bible. Don't think you're more spiritual than the Lord. I believe there's tremendous, valuable truths that the Lord can reveal to us through His Word. If you come with a humble, teachable, good attitude, and I believe the Lord can make this book also glorious in our eyes. You know, in connection with marriage, one of the greatest problems amongst couples is they don't find accepted by each other. Especially in India, I notice many women, wives, even after many years of marriage, they don't feel, my husband has accepted me as I am. They're demanding this and that from the wife. And that's why they are not so happy. You know, there's a lovely verse in this connection from Ephesians chapter 1. In the King James Version, it says very well. It says, we've been accepted in the Beloved. You know, our human nature, we don't find accepted by many. That's true. But, you know, we can all get confident in the Lord that He has accepted us, the Beloved, when we repent from our sins, turn and confess our sins, turn from our past sins and confess our sins and receive Jesus as a Savior and get to know His love. The Lord covers all our past sins and He says, I love you, I have accepted you in the Beloved. That word has blessed me for many years. And coming back to Song of Solomon, so even the bride here, she doesn't feel accepted easily. Chapter 1, verse 5. Here the bride says, I'm black. And many of us also, we feel, oh, I'm not such a wonderful Christian. We always look at our weaknesses. But the Lord says, you're lovely, you're beautiful. And verse chapter 1, verse 8. See what the Lord says. We can say what Solomon is saying to the bride. We can say that's what the Lord is telling us. If you yourself do not know, most beautiful among women. Have you ever heard the Lord say that to your brothers and sisters? You know, sometimes we all look into ourselves and get into condemnation guilt and discouragement, because most of the time we are listening not to the Lord. We feel, oh, I'm like this, I'm dark. But the Lord says, you're beautiful, I've cleansed you. And verse 8, as I said, that really encouraged my heart. Oh, most beautiful among men. Women, sorry. And chapter 2, verse 1. This is what the bride says. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. You know, by the way, in most of the songs that's wrongly referred to as Jesus, that's not Jesus saying. That's the bride saying, I'm a rose in the forest, desert. I'm just an ordinary rose. But the Lord says, you're a lily among thorns. Oh, how the Lord has a different perception about us, brothers and sisters. And, you know, there's another lovely expression, chapter 4, verse 7. You know, many times, we keep on listening to the devil. The devil says, you're like this, you're like that, you're like that, you're like that. And if you're in fellowship with the devil, you agree with him and say Amen. Even if you don't say Amen in the meeting. No? I stopped saying Amen to the devil. I want to listen to the Lord. The Lord's not looking. The Lord is not critical and saying all negative things about me. Oh, he wants to appreciate me. And chapter 4, verse 7, he says, you're altogether beautiful, my darling, he says. And there is no blemish in you. Have you heard the Lord say that to you? I've cleansed you by my blood. I've justified you. I want to hear more and more what the Lord says about me. I don't want to listen to the devil. And I don't even bother what the others say about me. I don't care if others don't appreciate me. I want to listen to what the Lord says more and more. Chapter 5, verse 2. He says here, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. That really encouraged my heart. The Lord looks at us and says, you're undefiled. Oh, I want to hear that more and more. You know, when you hear the Lord speak to you, you'll not be discouraged. No, you won't feel worthless. And you can get rid of all your low self-esteem and get rid of all condemnation, guilt and discouragement, because the Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, the more and more you listen to the Lord, He will always encourage you. He will always say words that will strengthen and comfort and build you. And I must say, there's no one like the Lord to appreciate us. Okay, that is number one. We find our acceptance in the Lord. Not in our good works, not what we do for the church, no matter how much you sacrifice, we find acceptance in His love. He has accepted me, the Beloved. He has cleansed me, He has washed me, He has justified me, and He does not see any blemish in me. And it's up to us to stand on that ground. And then, you know, once you know that the Lord has accepted you, you won't be craving for others' acceptance. There are many people, especially young people, they want others to accept them. And that's why they try to do so many things to impress others. But I want to tell you this morning, you don't need to do anything to impress the Lord and the others. Once you find the acceptance in the Lord, same way for the husbands and wives, especially the wives. Once you find acceptance, my husband's accepted me as I am. And then there's confidence, there's a good relationship. And I also want to speak to all the couples this morning, while I'm speaking to all the brothers and sisters about our connection with the Lord. It's wonderful to find acceptance in the partner. To know that my partner has accepted me with all my faults and weaknesses and failures. I don't have to do anything to impress my partner. And then you can have a good marriage also. You can have a good relationship with the Lord and have a good relationship with your partner. Okay. And after the Lord has accepted us, you know the Lord does something for us. In chapter 2, verse 4. Once the Lord has accepted us, He brings, this here verse 4, Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4, He has brought me to His banquet hall, and His banner over me is love. You know, in all the hotels they have a banquet hall. Banquet speaks of a celebration. Banquet speaks of rich food. without limit. Have you been to any hotels where there's no restriction? You can eat whatever you like. Some hotels are there, buffet they call it. Yeah. You can eat your heart's content. And wine speaks of joy. And I believe the Lord wants us to celebrate our life with Him, our Christian life with Him. And He gives us rich spiritual food. I remember once someone took me to one of these hotels. I enjoyed it. Buffet lunch. Anything, any item, no restriction. And I believe that's the way the Lord wants to give us such a rich spiritual food, nourishment to strengthen us and joy in our lives. The more you come to know the Lord, you can have a feast with Him. And you know, there's a verse in Psalms which says, I'll be satisfied with the abundance of your house. And I'm sure all of us can testify too here. The Lord brought us to the church and we all tasted richly God's word and the fellowship, not only with the Lord and also with His saints. And chapter 2 verse 5, the bride says, feed me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples. Oh, the Lord wants to give us more and more of His word. I believe He wants to reveal His word more to us. There's so much the Lord wants to give us, brothers and sisters. Some of us, we are content with just some messages, some commentaries. I believe if you are in fellowship with the Lord, He will teach us far more than what any man can teach. And maybe you say, Lord, I want to live in celebration with You. Like when the prodigal son came home to the father's house, the father said, let's celebrate. I like that verse. He threw a party. And the Lord also throws a party to us and says, enjoy life with Me. Is it like that with you, brothers and sisters, in your Christian life? Are you enjoying your life with the Lord? Or it's all heavy? Then I just now say there's something wrong. Okay, I want to move on to the next thing about the Lord. You know, I want to tell you, the Lord is not critical, He's not fault-finding, and He's not a hard taskmaster. Some of you, do you feel like that? Oh, the Lord is always demanding this from me, that from me. Then I may say, you've not understood the Lord. It's like a husband who ever married. Husband is demanding. Breakfast must be on time. You must dress like this. You know, the wife feels so heavy. I want to say this morning, it's a calling to magnify the Lord and expose the lies of the devil. See, the Lord is not like that. You know, if you think the Lord is like that, demanding, you'll also become like that to your wife. And also to others. And I want to say this morning, the Lord is not like that. You know what the Lord is like? Shall I tell you this morning? I want to tell you, if it maybe it'll surprise you. The Lord is full of appreciation for us. Do you know the Lord advises us? Maybe I'm surprising you this morning. And the Lord is affectionate towards us. And it says in Isaiah 62, the Lord rejoices over us as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride. And we know that verse, He rejoices over the shouts of joy. I believe the word of God. And just to confirm what I'm saying, I want to take you through some verses. Chapter 1 verse 9. See how the bridegroom here appreciates the bride. And incidentally, the Lord uses, the bridegroom here uses such wonderful language. You know, our Indian way, many husbands and wives don't use good language to each other. And the worst is they use bad language. You know, I don't like to express it here. They got some names. You like this. How sad. That's not a good husband. And I want to tell you, the Lord's not like that. The Lord's got some wonderful expressions. See how the Lord uses here. Chapter 1 verse 9. To me, my darling. And the other time, the Living Bible says, what a lovely filly you are, my love. And chapter 1 verse 14. My beloved is a bouquet of flowers. 115. Living Bible says, even the NASB says, how beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves. Oh, I want to hear the Lord appreciating us more and more and more. What good language, brothers and sisters. Chapter 4, verse 1. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves. The Lord works in us after we are saved through the Holy Spirit and through the Word. Have your eyes become like eyes of dove? Is there purity in your eyes for the Lord to appreciate? And the Lord is so specific. And chapter 4 verse 7. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. And there's no blemish in you. Chapter 4 verse 10. How beautiful is your love? I'm reading from the NASB. My sister, my bride. Some of you sisters, maybe you never heard such a word from your husbands. And maybe some of you sisters, you never said a word also to your husbands. You can change from today. Don't be like the Indian bride and the bridegroom. Learn from the Lord. And the fragrance of your oils, verse 10. How much better is your love than wine and the fragrance of your oils? Oh, the Lord senses the fragrance of us, our lives, and He appreciates us. And chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, most beautiful among women. Verse 4. You are beautiful. And 6, 9. My dove, my perfect one, is unique. And chapter 6 verse 10. See how the Lord appreciates us. Who is this that grows like the dawn? As beautiful as the full moon. As pure as the sun. And chapter 7 verse 6. This is from the Message Bible. You're beautiful within and without. Or we can say, you're beautiful inside and you're beautiful outside. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. You know, when the Lord works in us, He sees you're changing. Things are getting transformed. Inside and outside. You're not the same. The day you got saved. And chapter 7 verse 9. Your mouth. In other words, your speech life is completely changed. There's so much grace. And the Lord recognizes that. You're not like the olden days, gossiping, talking all rubbish, unwanted things. But now, gracious words are coming forth from your mouth. Edifying words are coming forth from your mouth. And the Lord appreciates it. Oh, I want to praise the Lord. I have such a wonderful Savior. He's not always scolding me and criticizing me. And like a policeman waiting to catch me and punish me. I want to show you, my beloved, how wonderful the Savior. He's not only the Savior. I want to say also incidentally this morning, the Lord is not only a Savior, not only a Redeemer, not only a shepherd, not only a foreigner, not only a sanctifier, not only a coming king. He's a beloved. He's a bridegroom. Like the bride says, the one whom my soul loves. Okay, up till now we saw how the bridegroom appreciates the bride, or the Lord appreciates the church. And I also want to show you from here how the bride also appreciates the bridegroom. And that's something very strange in India. I find so few women, wives, know how to appreciate their husbands, even when they have good husbands. Okay, chapter 2 verse 8. See what the bride says about the bridegroom. Listen, my beloved. Sisters, if you never called your husbands beloved, from today you can learn. As I said, I'd like to encourage all the couples to read the Song of Solomon. I know the young people, they're also very eager to learn. There's nothing wrong, you young people, single people. You can also learn about God's love here. And since your behold is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. In other words, the Lord is so majestic. He's so sovereign. He can handle all problems. That's the kind of bridegroom Jesus we have. Not a weak Jesus who can handle my situation. I like that verse. He comes leaping, says in another translation, upon the mountains and bounding over the hills. I hope you have a high opinion of the Lord and also of the husband. Verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. That's the joy of the bride. I belong to the Lord. I belong to Jesus, my bridegroom. And he is mine and I am his. Oh, I like this song. My beloved is mine and I am his. And chapter 3 verse 3. You know, this is repeated again and again. And I said, have you seen him? Whom my soul loves. What a wonderful expression. The one whom my soul loves. It comes many times. Chapter 1 verse 7, chapter 3 verse 1, chapter 3 verse 3 and 4. And chapter 5 verse 10. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. Oh, the Lord becomes so glorious for the bride. She gives expression and describes the Lord, you know, like all the mothers. You know, have you seen the mothers, how they talk to their babies? They invent new words. You know? And same way, when you love the Lord, you learn to appreciate the Lord more and more, and use all the wives. When you learn to love your husband, you will not use bad language, I'll tell you. I believe that's 100% unchristian. You, speaking like that, with disrespect, that's not Christian way. Learn from the Lord. And verse 16 is altogether lovely. Oh, what I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this morning, the bridegroom appreciates the bride and the bride appreciates the bridegroom. And that is normal Christian life. The Lord appreciates us and we appreciate the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning, you learn to live like that. Your life will not be boring and heavy and dragging. It won't be a routine, mediocre life. It's wonderful to be in love with Jesus. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to be the bridegroom of a soul. So that you can say, the one whom my soul loves, Jesus is all the world to me. Who can share the heart like Jesus? And you know, when you love the Lord, you sing to the Lord. Not just on Sunday morning. When you travel on the road, when you're washing the vessels, when you're in the bathroom. Oh, sing to the Lord. Lord, you love me, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And you can also compose your own love songs to the Lord, brothers and sisters. And I tell you, the Lord longs to hear some love songs from us. Lord, I praise you. You become so precious to me. You become so dear to me. And you appreciate me, Lord. And I hope you also say, Lord, I appreciate you. And what I learned from the Song of Solomon is, the Lord appreciates us more than we do. Oh, how much the Lord appreciates us. And take time to listen to the Lord, brothers and sisters. I tell you, he will not discourage you. And life becomes really interesting when you hear the Lord appreciate you. You know, the devil is always, the Bible says, thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. It always discourages us. But I see the Lord, he never discourages us. And if you are a good husband and a wife, you will never discourage your wife. You will never discourage your husband. And you will learn to appreciate. And I want to tell some of you this morning, if you have never learned to appreciate your partner, begin today. Think only of the good points of your husband. Think only of the good points of your wife. Don't tell me, brother, you don't know what kind of a partner I have. The other once I was asking someone, can you write down some of the good points about your partner? And she said, oh no. Hey, she said, about a partner. To me that shows he didn't have a good attitude. You know, it's all depends on our attitude. It doesn't depend on your partner. It depends on your attitude. You have an attitude of appreciation, admiration. And you speak, you'll find something good to appreciate in your partner. If you're married for 10, 15 years and you don't find even one thing to appreciate in your partner, and I must say, you got a pretty critical, bad attitude and you got to change. Because the Lord is not like that. I find the Lord, He keeps on saying something to encourage me. And I hope we can learn from today, brothers and sisters, from the Lord. And I hope you'll enjoy your life with the Lord. Sometimes when I see brothers and sisters so heavy, I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. The Lord, He always wants to cheer us up and lead us higher. Okay. And after that, the Lord wants to have fellowship with us. He's like that. Chapter 2, verse 10. You know, the Lord calls us, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come along, come away. Verse 14. And this is the response of the bride. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your form is lovely. And chapter 5, verse 2. She says, I was asleep, verse 2, I was asleep, but my heart was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. Oh, the Lord knocks at the door. I want to have fellowship with you. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship, it says. You know, the Lord is more interested in having fellowship with us than we are. He comes and knocks and waits. And here the bride is slow to respond. She says, I just now washed. My feet will get dirty. She is very slow to respond. Maybe the Lord is calling us also. I want to have fellowship with you. And some of us are saying, Lord, the World Cup is going on. Let me finish the World Cup and then I'll have some fellowship with you, Lord. You make the Lord wait. Maybe something else other than the World Cup for you is interesting. Maybe a cricket match, a tennis match. Maybe you say, Lord, I'm getting married now. That's my priority. And by the time she could open the door, the Lord's gone. The bridegroom is gone. And, oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you can understand the heart, God's heart. And then she was looking for the bridegroom because she was also wanting fellowship with him. The Lord's call is, come and dine, come and drink, come and learn. She says, Mary had fellowship with the Lord and the Lord appreciated it so much. And the more we have fellowship with the Lord, our life will also become interesting. I want to ask you this morning, are you in fellowship with the Lord? You know, the mark of a bride is, she loves to have fellowship with the Lord. She loves to sit and talk and talk. And develops a relationship like this. In chapter 5 verse 16, oh, this verse bless my heart. This is what the bride says. This is my beloved. This is my friend. Not just a husband, not just a wife. He's become my friend. Has the Lord become your friend, brothers and sisters? Wonderful. When Jesus becomes our beloved and our friend. You know, we sing a song. We sang this morning, I think. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000. We used to sing a song, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is mine. Oh, may the Lord help us to have such wonderful fellowship with the Lord. So that our life will not be boring. So that you can say, I am my beloved. He is mine. His banner over me is love. The Lord wants to have such a wonderful relationship with us. Fellowship and friendship with the Lord. What more you want, brothers and sisters? Okay. And chapter 4. You know, the Lord wants to work in us and change us so much. It says here how He expresses it about the bride. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A rock garden
locked, a spring sealed up. See in the Living Bible, my darling bride is like a private garden, a spring. See verse 13, you are a lovely orchard, verse 13, bearing precious fruit with the rarest of perfume. You know, if you walk in the Spirit and listen to the Lord, you will come to such a life where you produce fruit that is precious to the Lord. And chapter, verse 15, same chapter. You are a garden spring, you are a garden fountain, a well of living water, refreshing, a stream from Lebanon. The Lord is refreshed by our garden. And your life can become like a beautiful garden, brothers and sisters. Your heart can become like a beautiful garden where there is wonderful fruit for the Lord. And that's God's will for all of us. And even for all the married people, I want to say this morning, I hope your heart is like a good garden for your partner. Only good thoughts, only good attitudes. No bad thoughts, no bad attitudes, no bad words. And verse 16, and the bride invites, awake, O north wind, come, wind of south, make my garden breathe out fragrance, let its spices be wafted abroad, may my beloved come into his garden and eat his choice fruit. My garden became his garden. Oh, like it says, God wants to make a life like a well-watered garden. Brothers and sisters, may we live in this beautiful love relationship. Chapter 8, verse 7, it says, many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. Oh, when there's love, there's a fire, there's a flame. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. There's a passion to love Jesus, to do His will, to obey His word. And nothing can stop that passion. We used to sing a song, are you hot? Are you cold? Is there love in your heart? I want to ask you, brothers, is there fire in your heart? Once upon a time the Lord loved you. You knew His love, but today, maybe you're far from the Lord. The Lord invites you this morning. He doesn't scold you. He wants to restore us to that love relationship where there's a fire, where there's fellowship, where there's relationship, where the Lord becomes more and more wonderful for us. And Jesus came from heaven to get such a bride. You know, it says in Revelation, come, I'll show you the bride, adorned for husband. Oh, that kind of a bride the Lord's looking for. Not a cheap, third-rate, mediocre, unfaithful bride. A bride who's devoted to the Lord, whose heart is taken up with the Lord. And I pray this morning that our life will be like, become like that. Such a relationship with Jesus every day. Walking with Jesus. Just a closer walk with you, Lord. Enjoying a life with the Lord. And telling others about my beloved. Have you seen my beloved? I hope, brothers and sisters, you'll become such good witnesses for the Lord. And to say, it says, the Bible says, the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. The bride knows to keep her heart pure, to keep her spirit pure, to be faithful in temptations, because she's devoted to the Lord. There's a connection. Oh, may the Lord help us to abide and remain in that fire of love to the Lord till He comes. Shall we respond to the Lord this morning? Let's close our eyes. And Lord, we want to thank You for this tremendous calling, Lord. We were sinners. You came from heaven not only to forgive us and cleanse us. You came to win our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, and You become the bridegroom of our soul. And we pray this morning, Lord, You will restore our hearts. Revive us, Lord, to that fervent, intimate, close, deep relationship that You desire, Lord. And we pray, Lord, You will make us truly love us, Lord. Those who love You, Lord, passionately, intimately, Lord. And we pray this morning, Lord, You will really restore us, Lord. Help us to abide in that love relationship with You, Lord, till You come. Help us be gripped by this calling and be faithful to You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, You do appreciate us this morning. And You do want to help us, Lord. Thank You, we have found You, Lord. Thank You, You have become our friend, Lord Jesus. We worship You this morning. We praise You, Lord. We give You thanks, Lord. And oh, lead us higher, Lord. Help us know You better, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm sure your hearts are warmed as my heart is warmed today when we heard what we heard this morning. You know, when a couple is engaged to be married, They almost exhaust all the sweet words that are there under the heavens. All words like, sweetie, cutie, beauty, honey, sugar, candy, ice cream, whatever it is. Then later on, the words will change. After once they get married, and maybe after a couple of years, after the honeymoon is over, things are different. It should not be. And God's love towards us is not like that. Not like human love. It's divine love. He loves us with an everlasting love, and His love is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and for all eternity. We read that verse in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 7, the second part. It says, there is no blemish in you. You see, it is the bridegroom telling the bride, even though the bride is black, it says in chapter 1, verse 5, we heard the bride saying, I am black. Not just dark, I am black. You know the difference between dark and black? A fair person can be tanned and become dark, but a black person is black. And there's a verse in the Old Testament that a leopard cannot change its spots. So can the black person. I mean, it is just, it's only skin deep. There's nothing great about blackness or whiteness. It is only skin deep. When the Lord says, you are beautiful, you are lovely in my sight, and you're altogether lovely. And He says, I see no blemish in you. One verse comes to my mind when Israelis sinned so often in the wilderness, and they came almost to the edge of the promised land, and there was a prophet. He prophesied about Israelis, and he said, the Lord sees no iniquity in Jacob. He said in Numbers 23:21, maybe you can read that. Numbers 23:21, it's Balaam telling King Balak, prophesying about Israel, that God has not observed misfortune or iniquity in Jacob. You see, even though they sinned so often in the wilderness, God overlooked all that, and He said, they are still my people. I carried them with my hands. I covered them under my wings. You know, such a care and concern God had for these sinful people who provoked the Lord to anger, not once, twice, but more than 10 times. Even though Moses sinned only once, he was not able to enter the promised land. But these people sinned and sinned and sinned, but still the Lord says, I observe no iniquity in that. Doesn't that thrill our hearts when we see how often we have sinned and come short of the glory of God? You know, most of our lives are miserable, not because we keep on sinning, it's because we don't believe that God has forgiven us. Because it says, when you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. And when all iniquity has been cleansed, then what is there for you to remember? When God has cleansed you, and He says, I will remember your iniquities no longer, what right do you and I have to remember our old past? We keep on pulling our baggage day after day, day after day. Even though our sins have been forgiven long ago, we still think that our sins are not forgiven. We still think that the Lord has not accepted. This is the reason why many of our lives are miserable. We are sad, we are gloomy and depressed. And you know, the Lord says in Isaiah 1:18, it says, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come, let us reason together. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool, He says, only if you consent and are willing. You see, God wants us to come to Him because He is able. He says, I stretch forth my hand all day long to a stubborn and rebellious people, He says. We are all stubborn and rebellious in heart. God's arms are always stretched open to welcome us. And He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't scold us. He says He doesn't treat us according to our iniquities. You know, God is a good God. Satan has painted a picture about God as a very strict God, someone who is, you know, all the time trying to catch us. If He was that kind, He could have caught us when we were lost in sin and transgressions and we were worthy of hellfire. You know, even then He came and saved us and cleansed us and washed us and says, you are mine, you are my beloved, I am yours. So do we respond to that love? I want to close with one last word. You know, in Israel, many young girls were waiting for that day when the Lord will choose a virgin among them to be the mother of the Messiah. And we read that in Luke 1. We read that in Luke 1, 28. The angel Gabriel comes and meets this peasant girl, an ordinary farmer girl, Mary, she must have been in her late teens, comes and says to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, many people wanted to hear this greeting and also wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. And this wonderful phrase that He uses to Mary, favored one. I don't know how it is in the King James. Anybody has King James? Can you tell what this verse, how this verse reads? Verse 28, Hail, favored one is in the NASB. In the highly favored. Yeah, that's the word that I wanted to point it out to you. You know, this same word, highly favored, the same word that the angel Gabriel used for Mary has been used to you and me. Are you surprised? Probably some of you know that, but if you don't know, know it today. Turn to Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And it's the same word that angel Gabriel used for Mary. It's the same word that's written here in the original. It's exactly the same word. What Mary was greeted with and what Mary was told, the highly favored one, you and I are the same highly favored one in God's eyes. Do you believe that? That you're as favored as Mary, the mother of Jesus. As highly exalted in God's sight as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let that sink in you and throw away your old baggage of guilt and, you know, all the past. If God has forgiven you, you forgive yourself. And God says, I will remember your iniquities no more. So you don't you remember your iniquities anymore. Forget about it. Put the past behind and look forward, because there is this word, saying that says, you know, every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. Yeah, God didn't choose any saint. God chose only sinners who had a past baggage, bad past. God chose such ones and He made them saints. And every sinner who is sitting here, or who is listening, every sinner has a great future. Trust in the Lord. God bless you.